Let's look up 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. That's page 1158 in the church Bibles. And it's to the people of Corinth and the surrounding area of Achaia, and it's from Paul. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks to on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many.
Thanks, John. Do keep your Bibles open at that passage. We're going to ask God in a moment. We're going to pray, asking God that he'll speak to us through that passage. Is it worth him just knocking up? There we go, that's great. This morning we're going to look at this passage, and indeed throughout the second letter of Paul to the church of Corinth. We're going to think about the comfort that God brings, and yet this is not necessarily an easy word for us, because God brings that comfort to us in the midst of trouble and in the midst of trials. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. You have told us your word is powerful to change even our inmost thoughts and the desires of our hearts. Your word is strong to comfort and to provide all that we stand in need of. So Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning that as we come and again look at your word this morning, that you will open our eyes and our hearts. We pray that we will see Jesus and his beauty and his power as we look at your word. We pray that we will know your spirit at work within us, with cries maybe that we cannot utter, working in us, opening eyes, warming hearts, that we might find you to be our God, the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers we ask, for we ask them in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Well, it's no fun being thirsty, but it is worth it. If you're going to know the sheer pleasure of gulping down that first half pint of refreshing cool water or lemonade or whatever else it is, and then slowly sipping, savoring the rest of the glass, then you won't be able to appreciate that unless you're first really, really thirsty. It's no fun being thirsty, but it's worth it. It's no fun being away from the people that you love, not being able to see them face to face, never being able to chat with them in person. But you'd never experience that overwhelming pleasure of that emotional reunion, that conversation. Where you're talking to them, looking at them, holding them before your eyes. It is really you at last. Wouldn't be able to experience anything of that unless you've first been away from them. Unless you're really, really thirsty, you cannot know the pleasure of having that deep, deep thirst quenched. Unless you're dead, you can't know the sheer pleasure of being raised from the dead. No fun being put to death, but unless you die, you cannot know the awesome wonder of the resurrection power of God in your life. No fun having trouble. No fun being out of control. But unless you experience trouble in your life, unless you know what it means to feel helpless and out of control, you won't know the wonder, the delight, that God's comfort and God's deliverance from trouble brings. That's the way things are. And in one sense, it is obvious, isn't it? You cannot be comforted unless you need comforting from distress and trouble and pain. This morning, friends, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, if you want to know the resurrection power of God, his comfort and his deliverance in your life, then we can only do so in the midst of our death of troubles and weakness. And that means this morning, as we're gathered, that we need to think in a whole new way about troubles and about weakness. That's the way that we see Paul thinking about troubles and weakness, not just in this chapter that John read for us, but in the whole of this second letter to the church of Corinth. So first of all, I want us just to look at the passage that we read this morning. And I want us to see, firstly, the troubles, our troubles, are a death where we see the resurrection power of God. My troubles, your troubles, real troubles. They're a death where we see God's resurrection power. Well, just pick up your Bibles and glance at that passage that John read for us. It's not hard to see what the big idea is it? Those words on the... which way are you looking at it? Right-hand side? Is that right? On the right-hand side. That's all of the words that are found in this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And the bigger the word there, the more times it occurs in this passage. Just look at how many times the word comfort is used. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Comfort and compassion. And then as you continue to read through the passage, there's lots about suffering and afflictions. The passage starts with lots about suffering, then we start lots about comfort, then Paul starts to talk about sufferings, but there's comfort as well amidst those sufferings. And then from verse 8 onwards, there's death and there's despairing of life. You ask Paul how he feels today. I feel like death. You feel like, Paul, what's your expectation? How are you going to feel tomorrow? Death. So the second half of verse 9, we despaired even of life. And having talked about death and comfort and affliction and death again, verse 10, Paul now starts to talk about deliverance. Verse 10, He, that's God, God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we've set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. Not difficult to see the pattern, is it here? Comfort, suffering, death, deliverance. And right at the beginning of the passage, verse 3 there, we learn something about God himself. Paul refers to God as the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. In verse 9, Paul says that our God is the God who raises the dead. Comfort, suffering, death, deliverance. And suffering and trouble and affliction, Paul views them as a kind of small death. And comfort, Paul views as a deliverance from God. So that it's the God of all comfort. It's the Father of all compassion who gives us his comfort. It's the God who raises the dead, who gives us deliverance from our troubles. Now, in this letter, Paul himself has a specific example from his own experience of this principle, that our troubles are a death, where we see God's resurrection power. He mentions this problem that he's facing, this trouble he's facing in verses 6 to 11. We don't know exactly what that trouble is. Elsewhere, Paul tells us that in Ephesus, he struggled against wild beasts, probably not literally. They were hard opponents. But there were riots in Ephesus. They were literal. And here Paul tells us that he's found all kinds of troubles throughout Asia. But whatever the issues are that he's dealing with here, whatever the troubles are of the specific case, it's just a specific case of the general truth that the troubles that we face, they're like little deaths. And that the God who comforts us in our troubles, the God who delivers us from our troubles, he's the God who raises the dead. Do you want to see God at work with resurrection power in your life? God acting to comfort you, to deliver you? Well, if you want to enjoy having that massive thirst quenched, you've got to have that massive thirst. And if you want to know the comfort and the deliverance of the resurrection power of God in your life, you're going to need to know how it feels to be dead with all kinds of trouble. It's in the death-like experiences of our troubles that we get to know the resurrection power of God. In fact, this whole letter of Paul's to the church in Corinth is all about God's power to bring comfort and deliverance with resurrection power. We're going to quickly glance through the whole of this letter. So again, pick your Bibles up. Paul's going to tell us that if we want to know God's resurrection power, we'll need to be content to be weak. After all, if you are strong yourselves, you've no need for God's strength. Flick over the page to chapter 4 and verse 7, the bottom of the page, if you've got a church Bible there. Chapter 4, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing strength and power is from God and not from us. If you're Paul, you can say, you know what, I'm glad to be a fragile jar of clay. Because that means the all-surpassing power of God can be displayed in and through me. He goes on in verse 10 of chapter 4. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Do you want to know the resurrection life of Jesus on display in your life, here and now? Well, you need to be content to carry around the death of Jesus in your body. Flick on to chapter 6. It's there on the same page, or just the page over, chapter 6 and verse 4. What does Paul say there? Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots. And he goes on and on and on until in verse 9 of chapter 6, he says, dying, and yet we live on. Paul is willing to describe his life as dying every day. It's a dying sort of life, this life of troubles that Paul lives. And then in chapter 7 and verse 5. Chapter 7, verse 5. Over the page again. Paul says, "For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. But we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him." You see, as Paul speaks, there's all of this comfort flying around. But comfort is only flying around when Paul, God's servant, is in trouble. Lots of resurrection from death, but there has to be death in the first place. And then as we flick on towards the end of the letter, chapters 11 and 12, lots of chapters 11 and 12 are the same story. Just turn to chapter 12 and verse 9, towards the end of the letter. One of the most famous verses, I'm guessing, from this letter of Paul's. Let's read from verse 7. Paul says, chapter 12, verse 7, "To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" See, just in case we were thinking that Paul's only referring to troubles and suffering that come from being persecuted for our faith. George was mentioning in the prayers about those Christians that have been persecuted merely for following Jesus. But Paul's not just talking about those kind of troubles, those kind of sufferings. That verse shows us this. We don't know exactly what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but it is some kind of physical weakness. And Paul pleads with God again and again to get rid of it. But God says no. But verse 9, "Paul, know this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And therefore, Paul says, verse 10, "I'll boast all the more in my intense thirst, because then I know I'll really enjoy that thirst-quenching drink. Because I'll boast all the more in my death, because I know that then the resurrection life of Christ will be seen in me." This whole book of 2 Corinthians, it tells us that God's power is displayed through our weakness. God's comfort is received amidst our distress. Paul's saying that the Christian life that God calls us to live as we follow Jesus, it's a dying and rising to new life kind of life. And friend, I hope you can see why Paul is saying this here. Why Paul is saying, you know, all things being equal, trouble is an okay place to be. Because if I stand in this circle called trouble, that's where the spotlight of God's resurrection power will shine on me and shine in me. In a way, says Paul, I'm kind of happy to be in this place called trouble. I'll boast about it, he says, not because I like troubles in and of themselves. I don't. But because the power of Christ will rest on me there. But that leads us to say, hang on. That leads us, doesn't it, to say, oh dear. Because it's not that we don't get what Paul is saying here. But we really just don't want to share in what Paul's saying here, do we? You don't want to go and stand this morning in that circle called trouble with the Apostle Paul and say, you know what, in a way, it's a fine place for me to stand because I know God's resurrection power on me when I'm standing in that circle called trouble. No, we say, you know what, I'm glad, God, that you've given people like the great Apostle Paul. You've given Paul to be able to stand as an example in that circle called trouble. And you've displayed your great resurrection power on Paul as he stands in that circle. But God, if you don't mind, I'll stand over here in this circle. This circle called everything's all right, thanks very much, God. I much prefer standing there. And that's the problem, isn't it? Because these little deaths, these troubles that we face, they really, really hurt. Death hurts. That's why we say, hang on, God. Hold on. God's way of operating hurts. Troubles, deaths, they really hurt. Death, as Paul talks about it here, it's not being in control. Death is when life is falling apart. Death is when we can't cope with things, when we want things, when we feel we need things in our lives and it's taken away from us. Death is when things happen to us rather than us being in charge. Death is when we feel inadequate, when we can't hold things together. And friends, you know what that's like. And I know what that's like this morning. And some of those deaths are really small things, and yet they still hurt us, don't they? Just think of the troubles you've had this last week. The troubles that you're going to face this coming week. Some of them are small. When the computer freezes and you lose all of your work. When you drop your dinner all over the kitchen floor. When your little two-year-old who's potty training, it doesn't quite work out on a Sunday morning and you're struggling to get your sermon ready and put things together. That's my experience from the last week. And perhaps the troubles that you faced in this last week, you've been desperately trying to get to speak to somebody and you couldn't get hold of them. Or that email or that telephone call that you seem to have been waiting for ages, it just still hasn't come through. And we don't think of those things necessarily as troubles, do we? As standing in that circle called trouble. They're just nuisances. They're just an annoyance. That's just the way life is. And yet we know that there are also bigger things. Things that hurt us much, much more. When the money really does run out. When your husband or your wife has been unfaithful. When you've got no husband or wife, and yet that's what you desperately feel you want in life. When you or somebody that you love is really ill. Those troubles, they really, really hurt. And so it's no wonder that we say, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Lord, that the resurrection only works in death. The comfort only comes when we're in trouble. But hang on a minute, God. I know trouble and death hurt. And we're constantly, aren't we, being told by the world around us that the point of life is to look good, is to feel good, is to be in control. And if that's the case, then why would anybody want to put themselves in this circle called trouble where we feel bad, where we look bad, and where we're out of control? And in that we're still sinners, friends, you and I, we do feel as though life is all about looking good and feeling good and being in control. And therefore, I do not like trouble. I don't want this death that Paul talks about. I steer my conversations to you, sitting there when I'm talking. I steer those conversations so you don't see my inadequacies, my weaknesses. I want to have enough control and sufficient resources so that I don't have to face my own weaknesses, let alone display all my weaknesses to everyone else. If life's about looking good and feeling good and being in control, we're going to reject this whole business that Paul's talking about. But if life is about the display of God's glorious resurrection power in you and I, then we'll be given the strength even to say with Paul, Lord, let me stand in this circle called trouble so that your resurrection power can be on display in me. Paul says, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses. And obviously, it's not that we'll then go and search out weaknesses and troubles as though we'll only be happy unless we're in trouble. Paul certainly didn't do that. But as we look to Christ, we'll welcome a display of our weakness if we understand what Paul's saying here. Because as Paul says in chapter 12, it's when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Troubles, weakness, death. To show the all-surpassing power comes from God and not from us. troubles and weakness and death, that his life might be revealed in our mortal bodies. Troubles and weakness and death, so that Christ's power might rest on me. Do you want to know Christ's resurrection power to be shown, to be revealed, to rest on you? Paul says you're going to need to be prepared to stand in this circle called trouble. And it hurts. Because we're still sinners. We do still assume that life is all about looking good and feeling good and being in control. But we need to be convinced that in Christ, if we're seeking to follow him, the life is all about displaying God's glory in us. And friends, to motivate us to see things this way, Paul picks out some of the resurrections that God wants to work in our lives. Turn back to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Paul says this is what we're going to be missing out on if we're reticent to stand in that circle called trouble. When we're in trouble, facing trials, and God intervenes to comfort and to deliver us, then verse 3, we get to know God better. We get a deeper knowledge of God. What Paul says about God in verse 3 of this first chapter of 2 Corinthians is different from what he says about God anywhere else. It's in his trials, it's in his troubles that he's come to know God as the Father of all compassion, as the God of all comfort. Secondly, we've got a new power to be able to comfort other people. Verse 4. Friends, thank God this morning that he's made you part of a local church where people really do know what troubles are. Not that we're to thank God that people are in trouble and are suffering, but those who really do know what painful troubles are, they're a gift from God, says Paul, verse 4. A gift to his church. They've got the power to comfort us in ways that they would not have otherwise. Then verse 5, when God intervenes in our troubles to comfort and deliver us, he's conforming us to the likeness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's making us more like Jesus. Verse 6, verse 7, as we rightly respond to our troubles, as we rightly respond to the comfort God brings us in our troubles, we become a pattern for other people to follow. Verse 9, our troubles bring an increased reliance upon our great God. Verse 11, they drive us to prayer and dependence upon him. If it weren't for standing in that circle called trouble, then a deeper knowledge of God, the power to comfort others, that increased conformity to the Lord Jesus, that reliance increasingly upon God and our dependence upon him in prayer, we'd know none of that. Our God uses our troubles to comfort us. None of us want trouble. But without him, we wouldn't know any of this. But friends, that does require us to have a whole new attitude, doesn't it, to our troubles, our weaknesses. Instead of being something to avoid, something to suppress at all costs, something we hate, we need to have this attitude that Paul has here, where he says, you know, this is a place where God's resurrection power can be displayed in my life here and now. This is where I can embody the death of the Lord Jesus. And just as death itself has been transformed for believers, for trusting in Jesus, death is no longer a punishment for us. It's a doorway into the very presence of our Lord Jesus. Well, so too, these troubles, these mini-deaths that we face daily are transformed for the Christian. They're a place for God's resurrection power and life to be seen. A place for God to show his comfort. That's a radical, radically different way of looking at troubles and trials. And maybe we shouldn't be surprised how radical it is. After all, Paul says in this letter, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, a whole new experience. The world will only ever be able to look upon troubles as something to be avoided. But for the Christian, while troubles hurt just the same for us, they're a place where we can receive God's comfort, where we can know his deliverance, his resurrection life in our lives. His resurrection life in our lives right now. Paul's troubles enable him to say, praise God, I'm in this place of trouble. Praise God, because in this painful spot, I've come to know his resurrection power. I've come to know his resurrection life. Now, friends, I'm well aware. It's one thing for us to hear what Paul says here, isn't it? It's quite another thing for us to put this into practice. So I want us just to spend a minute as we close, looking ahead to this coming week. Looking ahead to the things that are out of control in our lives, that the things that are going to happen to us this week we know are going to hurt, where our weaknesses are going to be exposed. Think back to the last 7 days. Think ahead to the coming week. What are the things that will hurt? What are the things where you'll feel out of control that'll leave you feeling helpless? Try and be specific. What are those things? Have you got something? Well, as you ponder that hurt, that aspect of your life that will be hurtling out of control in one way or another, you need to see there a death. A death to this world's way of thinking. A death to self. A death with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you also need to see in that trouble or that trial a chance for yourself to display to you and to others God's amazing resurrection power, to comfort in the midst of troubles, to deliver from trouble. That trouble, that little mini death, it's a place where God's power can be displayed in your life, where Christ's compassion might be experienced, where the Spirit's blessing can overflow to other people. And friend, I do hope you've had something specific in mind so that you'll be able to view it differently in the light of God's purposes. A chance to die. A chance to rely upon God, to display his resurrection life in your life. I guess the one thing we can guarantee is that every one of us will face troubles this coming week. If troubles are being out of control, if troubles are when it hurts, if troubles are feeling our own weaknesses exposed to others, you and I will know troubles of one sort or another this week. That's the world that we live in. But how are we going to see those things this week? The things that are out of control in your life, that expose you, that are your weaknesses, that hurt. They're moments for God to be able to display his resurrection power in your life. To bring his comfort into your life. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to prove to you that he is the Father of all compassion. The God of all comfort. He wants to prove to us that even in the depths of our troubles, he's the God who brings resurrection life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so aware that when troubles are relatively few on the ground, it is so, so easy to say glibly, you're the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort. Heavenly Father, let us not read your word glibly. Lord, you are the one who rose your Son from the grave. You're the God who works with resurrection power. Not merely 2,000 years ago to leave that tomb empty, but you're the God who has promised to work in your people with resurrection power. And Lord, you do that in the midst of our troubles, our trials, our suffering. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, that whatever week we will be facing this coming week, and Lord, we know there are many of us here going through all kinds of true, painful suffering and trials. that we will view those troubles, view those trials as the opportunity for you to work with resurrection power, with compassion and comfort that only you can bring. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to view this week ahead as an opportunity for you to display your power, your comfort, your compassion, that you'll be glorified, and that we, along with Paul, will keep our eyes fixed upon you and know and feel that comfort, even in the midst of trouble. In our Saviour's precious name we ask it. Amen.